You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. This show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And boy, do I have friends in the studio today. We have an action-packed studio. We're going to be speaking about gun safety awareness for community and the United States and actually around the world and what we can do as activists and moms to help that situation. We also have a friend of mine, Ashley Burke, who's going to be talking a little bit about Space Coast animal rights. But before we do that, I'm going to introduce my friends and have them say two words about themselves. So right next to me, I have Carly. And Carly, please introduce yourself to my audience.
Hi, my name's Carly Hudson. I'm an upcoming senior at Melbourne High School, and I'm a student activist.
Next door to Carly, really is next door. I feel like we're next door. We also have Moms Demand Action for Florida in the studio with us. And we have Ashley. Ashley, you're with us.
Hi, everybody. Tell me about myself. I was actually involved with Carly in organizing the students' March for Our Lives back in March. And I'm here today to talk about Space Coast animal rights and some of the things that we have coming up soon.
And we also have Melissa DeFrancesco. What a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Melissa, I met at a forum in Titusville. She was there to speak about gun safety awareness for our nation and for Melbourne. And I really like what she had to say in the group that she founded, the Melbourne Chapter for Moms Demand Action. So you're here too?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sita. Yes, my name is Melissa DeFrancesco, and I'm the lead for the local Melbourne Moms Demand Action Group, and happy to be here today and talk about gun violence and gun safety and common sense legislation.
And we also have Connie. Connie is here. And Connie, you know, it's Rook?
Rook, yes.
Right. Connie, I said that correctly.
Hello, my name is Connie Rook, and I'm also a co-lead with the Moms Demand Action, the Melbourne chapter, and here to support Melissa, but to see what we can do to try and get the word out about gun safety in our community.
Right.
Thank you for having us here.
So there we are. We have five people plus Pastor Paul. Thank you for running the board for us today on Memorial Day.
That's my pleasure.
We really appreciate it. And like we said before, today's a day when families get together to remember the fallen and pay respects to the people that actually fought for us so we can have the freedom of everything that we hold near and dear to us. It's not about hot dogs and hamburgers. Also, it's delicious. It's also a time to reflect and do what we can for our community. And sometimes we speak about activism and what we're doing for veterans and what we're doing for families, but we also have to take in mind that the veterans and their families, they need more help than just a dollar bill. So many of our veterans are home with missing limbs and prosthetic limbs and arms, and they need assistance in their homes, nursing assistants and healthcare workers, and the families need a break. So let's just hope that if anyone is listening, that it's not just about saying that you want to help the veterans, but actually the act of helping the veterans.
That's a great
as well.
Cause to be an activist with right there.
Yes, because I mean, I as a nurse, I've seen so many veterans that have to sit in a wheelchair for hours because there's no one to help transfer them from the wheelchair to their bathrooms and then put them back in their wheelchairs and change them. And so it's not just about sending people to war, but it's also about taking care of them when they come back 100% and not using talking points and code words, but actually walking the walk. So I think that's something that people ought to know just from, you know, from a lay person like myself, you know, what I see. And I see a lot. Nursing, you learn a lot. I've told you that before, Pastor Paul. Mm-hmm. So, and also we want to say a prayer for what's going on in Maryland. We have a lot of floods. I don't know, did anybody see what's happening on the news? with all the floods in the street and everything. I see Connie nodding her head.
And I did see that, actually, and they somebody was telling me this is like a 1,000-year event, but this is the second year it's happened in a row. They actually got a lot of, they did a lot of work last year to rebuild. They never even got a chance to start breaking ground on the rebuild, and now they're flooding again.
Yeah, so it's
two stories tall, deep water.
Right. It's crazy. Numerous water rescues, and actually there's a video now that was posted that if you're stranded in your car, what to do to get on top of the car, because a lot of people can't even open the doors to get out. Mm-hmm. They have to crawl through the window. I mean, it's heartbreaking that it's happening right here in the United States, and I think the Red Cross is asking for donations for that. It's an extremely dangerous situation and catastrophic. It really is. Also, another thing in the news, we usually do like a little bit of kitchen table topics before we go into our guests. And another thing that I noticed, and we were talking about this before, was the American Civil Liberties Union says that the United States immigration authorities have forcibly separated hundreds of migrant parents, and most of them were asylum seekers, from their minor children for no legitimate reason. And I just want to say, I came to the United States when I was 18, and I was 19, and I had a three-month-old baby with me, and I could not sleep last night because I kept worrying what would have happened if someone had taken away my child. And as mothers and as people who are all part of this magnificent planet, we are a global village, I think we can do better than ripping the children out of the arms from their moms. And I see Ashley shaking her head. You're having a nod about that.
Absolutely. It's unconscionable.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter what country you're from. It's just basic human decency not to take a child away from its parent.
I think you should just send the mother and the child back to the country that they came from. You know, my mother had a way of saying things. She used to say, if I have to eat boiled bananas, I let my children eat it with me. So in other words, don't separate the mothers and the children. There has to be some humane way that we could maybe get a bus ticket or plane ticket, or maybe give them some money in their hand, some food, some clothing. If we can't offer them food, water, and shelter, at least let's send them back in a dignified way where they came from. I mean, just to rip the child out of a mother's hand, arms is not, I don't think that's good. So that's about the two kitchen table topics that I have today on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, to make a donation if you can to help the flood victims in Maryland, and also say a prayer for those children that are being separated from their moms. And let's hope and pray. The bigger picture here is how do we get governments in all countries, all over the world, to actually put their people first? It has got to be people over politics all over the world, because the only one that suffers are the poor, the needy, and the most vulnerable, right? I mean,
including
that's what it comes down to.
They don't have a voice either.
Yeah, well, it comes down to, you know, most people want to run for office for a reason, and that reason should always be what can we do for the environment and for people and for public education and to bring awareness to things that are happening, not just in the United States, but around the world. And if we could do that as a nation and as people of this global universe, then maybe we wouldn't have women running away from domestic violence and drug violence and guns, which we are going to be talking about today, which is part and parcel of what's happening in our country. But before we start talking about gun violence and Moms Demand Action and all the great things that they're doing, I'm going to just segue a little bit and speak to Ashley. Ashley, you and I met at the rally in Melbourne, and I was fascinated by how many things you do. You're such an activist. You're like who everybody wants to grow up to be, an activist, and not only care about children who are getting shot at schools and gun violence around the United States, but you also care about animals. And because of that, my husband decided to sponsor 15 minutes for you.
Oh,
so tell us
wonderful.
A little bit about yourself.
Thank you so much. Well, my main issue that I'm involved with in a number of ways is for animal rights and animal welfare. And I got involved with March for Our Lives just because, you know, that spoke to me. You know, we're all concerned about that. So anything that you care about, you know, there's a way to speak up and get involved. You don't have to be part of an organization. You don't have to go through any formalities. Just connect with your friends and neighbors and, you know, do something on your own to create something. That's why Carly and I got together and created our own march here in Melbourne. But to tell you about Space Coast Animal Rights and some of the animal things that I'm doing.
Yeah, what is the mission?
Well, Space Coast Animal Rights stands for the well-being of animals in Brevard County, and we do outreach and education and peaceful protests to bring attention to issues of cruelty and things like that. So one of the things that we do is our founder, Alicia Corpiel, actually started the Not Just for Easter campaign, and that campaign in the past couple years has actually gone national, and that's to bring attention to the issue of rabbits being dumped after Easter season. People buy rabbits for their kids, and then, you know, the kids get bored with them and people dump them. They either dump them in shelters or out in the wild, and right now is when we're seeing the consequences of that. In the past couple of weeks, we've actually been out at Wickham Park and a few other places to capture rabbits that have been let loose, and they're domestic pets. They cannot survive in the wild, despite what a lot of people think.
So how can we bring more awareness that you know, it's, we all want our children to see the Easter Bunny, and we all want them to have eggs and, you know, the fake grass and everything. How can we bring more awareness that please don't have anything to do with live rabbits?
Right. It's just spreading the word and encouraging people to, you know, buy a chocolate bunny or buy a stuffed bunny instead. Don't buy a live pet for your kid.
I've heard that people actually eat rabbits too.
Oh gosh, that's a whole other topic.
I know, I do. And yeah, that breaks, I didn't believe it. I was like, really? Yeah. And people said, yes, they do. I'm like, that's so sad.
You know, they're the third most popular pet in the United States. And, you know, people just treat them like they're objects. And they engage in backyard breeding and all kinds of cruel activities.
With rabbits?
Oh, yes. Oh, it's a problem here in Brevard County, too.
No wonder we have this show called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We learn a lot of stuff.
So we're out there in the community trying to bring attention to it and educate people, you know, just to make more mindful choices. So,
Well, it's almost summer. Do you have any concerns that comes with the season?
Yes. With the summer, kids are out of school. People are traveling and taking trips to the theme parks. And one of the issues that we try to educate about with Space Coast Animal Rights, as well as with another organization I work with, which is called One Protest, we try to inform people about the unseen cruelty and neglect that happens with captive animals, especially in marine parks. So you might have heard of Empty the Tanks. It kind of went along with the whole blackfish issue. And in the summertime, people are more likely to go to, you know, say SeaWorld, for example, or zoos. And we're trying to educate about issues where captive animals don't do well in those kinds of scenarios. You know, they're separated from their bonded mates for, you know, breeding purposes. They're traded around between parks. And the industry itself is tied to illegal wildlife traders and poachers, you know, further away.
Sometimes I think human beings were our own worst enemies.
Yes.
For people to do that to rabbits and to animals held in captivity. And we see it all the time. I mean, it's, and you know, you want to say, how do we bring more awareness to this? Well, of course, we have a show and we have different ways of reaching out to people. But it's always been, if you're cruel to animals, the potential to be cruel to a human is there.
Absolutely. It's one thing that leads onto another. But people have good intentions. They think that going to the zoo is fun, and it is, you know, fun, but you don't see what's going on behind the scenes. In zoos, for example, animals are subject to a lot of stress from being not only in confinement, but being observed and watched by humans. That's not a natural state for them, and they have pacing behaviors, they have repetitive behaviors, and a lot of times zoos and organizations like that have to medicate the animals with actual human antidepressants so that you don't realize that the animals are stressed out. So what we try to do is encourage people to go to sanctuaries instead, or, you know, see animals in the wild, go out to parks, see real wildlife where it's meant to be seen, as opposed to, you know, visiting places where animals are kept in captivity.
And do you have any events coming up that our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends could jot down and probably attend?
Yes, actually, for Space Coast Animal Rights, on June 9th, we're going to be having a big rummage sale out on Lake Washington. I think it's called Lake Washington Stables. And right now, actually this week, we are collecting items for that rummage sale. So if you're interested in donating anything, which is tax deductible to make those donations, just find Space Coast Animal Rights on Facebook. Yeah. And we're happy to try to arrange pickup or drop off for our rummage sale.
Do you have any issues with the magicians that pulls a rabbit out of a hat?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. It's rabbits don't like to be picked up by their ears. And, you know, we discourage animals from being used in entertainment because, you know, that's stressful for them. Rabbits in particular are prey animals, and they don't like to be handled usually by, you know, especially strange humans.
It's amazing when you meet an activist that actually have spent time watching the animals and knowing all the characteristics, that you can speak with them with such love because it's almost like you know them.
Yeah.
Well, what got you started in being an animal rights activist?
You know, as social media started to find its day, you know, 10 years ago or whatever it was, I just started learning about issues. And as soon as I started to learn about something, it made me want to change my habits. I believe in, you know, pet adoption as opposed to buying from breeders. And then I started learning about, you know, the issues in eating animals for meat, and I became a vegan, and first a vegetarian for a long time, and then eventually I learned about why I wanted to become a vegan, and just learning about...
So if we change our behaviors, we could change the world.
Absolutely.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, and you also told me when we met that you were doing something about elephants, and I thought that was fascinating. And I actually put you in my phone, parentheses, elephants.
There's so many topics we could cover today.
Yeah, I remember. What was that cause? It was something that you were doing.
Well, with the other organization that I work with, One Protest, we're partnered with the International Coalition for Rhino Protection. Was that it?
Yes. So we'll have to do a show on that one day. But I knew we had talked about the endangered species and what you were doing about the elephant tusks and all that.
Yeah, and that was related to the rhinos too.
Yes, so we'll have to do a show. So Ashley, that's wonderful. Ashley Burke just came on, and you know, she inspires so many people to actually not just talk about animals, but look out for them as well and be an advocate, right? And the next 15 minutes, I just want to talk to Carly Nicole. Carly, you took Brevard County by storm. I can't believe how much you've done. You've inspired and energized and got so many of us engaged in a cause that we knew was there. But we were not doing enough. And so then we had the Parkland shooting, and then we all watched what happened at Sandy Hook, and we were mortified, and we thought we were going to see changes, and everybody talked about it, and they sent thoughts and prayers and hugs and everything else, and nothing happened. And then we watched the NRA, and we watched the politicians who take money and have A ratings, and we thought, well, maybe they'll just put humanity before money and guns, and it didn't happen. And then Melbourne got involved. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the activism for safety, not to take away people's guns.
Yeah,
we respect the Second Amendment, but how you got involved with gun rights.
I personally got involved with gun rights and stuff through the March for Our Lives movement. After seeing Parkland, it kind of hit really close to home for me. They're 2 hours away. They're my age. And after I saw Emma Gonzalez's speech at their rally, she really inspired me to go out of my way and really make sure that Brevard County and my school would be safe in the event of a school shooting.
So you must have learned a lot. You had a lot of experience planning the march in Melbourne. What are some of the things that you learned while planning the march?
Planning the march was kind of like culture shock for me. I learned how to write press releases, do interviews, public speaking. I did a multitude of things that I had never done before. Event planning, volunteer organizing, stuff like that.
And then we all saw what was happening with our school board. And for the first time, I think a lot of parents woke up in Brevard County and understood it's not only about an academic education, but it's also social, and it's also your engagement in your community. So tell us, how did the fight against the school board idea to arm the school staff play out?
So they just recently voted in for school to arm school specialists, security specialists. So these will be like entry-level positions that people can apply, and they will be carrying and securing our campuses. They also had what is called the Guardian Program, and the Guardian Program is postponed, so it can still be brought up. And the Guardian Program was the arming of janitors, lunch ladies, attendance clerks, stuff like that.
Yeah, and the thing, you know, in the old days, I know that Melissa and Connie and myself, we remember this. You know, you went to school and you played hopscotch.
Yes.
You went to school, and if your friend had a piece of equipment that they could share at lunchtime with everybody else, it was a great thing. It should not be that our children have to worry about who is carrying a gun in their school. I mean,
I agree.
It's scary.
You know, I mean, when you go to the airport, we have enough security there for the metal detectors. And it is a very systematic thing. People go through them. They put your stuff and they go through and you get on a plane. And here in our schools, I mean, my grandchild said, woohoo, it's summer. We don't have to worry about doing a drill. I mean, that's pretty sad when a child has to worry about who has a gun in his. I mean, police officers should have them.
That's
school resource officers, I agree. But to arm the janitor and the lunch lady.
I think it's crazy.
Right. You know, we obviously do not support arming volunteer school staff. We don't think that the cafeteria workers or the janitorial staff or the administrative staff should be doing double duty. They shouldn't have their responsibilities plus the responsibility of the safety and security on campus. Safety and security on campus should be a primary responsibility. Someone should be looking at that solely. It shouldn't be an afterthought. It shouldn't be something that falls under miscellaneous in your job description.
Right. We need to hire people for that position with proper training.
Correct.
Right. Just like they do in the airports, and do something. Don't just give it to the lunch guy. I mean, come on. He has a hard enough time keeping track of his janitorial supplies and if he's going to get it paid for. Some of them don't even get paper towels, you know? You think he's going to be worrying about carrying a gun?
You know, I mean, ultimately, you don't want, I think most parents don't want guns in schools. I mean,
you would hope
that we get to a point where we don't need that. But we understand that the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas School Safety Act requires someone to carry a weapon on campus for safety and security of the people who are there. They had several options of how to implement that. We don't love it, but the school resource officer
is the best option.
Right?
We're willing to compromise. Sure. We're saying, okay, don't give it to the janitor
let's get someone who's well trained, make sure that there's a school resource officer there if that's the option that we need to go to. The school security specialist is, you know, we don't love it, we don't hate it. It's someone who is not necessarily doing double duty, so that's better than at least the janitor or the administrative staff who have other jobs that they need to worry about.
Right. So that was Melissa talking a little bit, and we're going to hear from Melissa in a little while. You know, in the second segment we're going to devote it to Moms Demand Action. Thank you, though. That was great input. So, Carly, you're also doing something called Students Demand Action.
Yes.
If you could tell us, like, in maybe in a minute or so, quickly about that.
Mm-hmm. So, Students Demand Action, it's a group under Everytown for Gun Safety. It's like a movement of a whole bunch of American students working together to end gun violence and to build safer communities. We're all determined to fight for our lives, our dreams, and our communities. And we won't stop, really, until Americans are safe in their schools.
Well, isn't that what we all want? We all want community engagement.
Yes.
Everybody wants to wake up and they want to be loved and appreciated, safe. And I always add, we want a job with benefits. We do. We all do. Nobody wants to work without benefits. Yeah. And you also have something. Do you have another minute for her to talk? You're also doing something, getting involved with Counselors for Change, which I absolutely love that, because right here in Brevard County, we're starting this up.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
So Counselors for Change is a nonprofit organization formed right here in Brevard, and three amazing women run it right now. They're former teachers and businesswomen. They also have mental health. They're mental health professionals. And they want to give schools kind of help with the whole mental health aspect for the students that need it. So they're a grassroots effort. They're a team made of teachers and bankers. And I think they're really cool. And they asked me to be on their board just to get a student's perspective on the mental health aspect. So I'm really excited to do some great things with them.
I think we did great. And now Pastor Paul is going to play some of our commercials and say thank you to all our sponsors. And then Viewpoint with Sita and Friends will be right back on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We had a robust first half hour with Ashley Burke and Carly Nicole, my two new friends. And yes, I will invite you guys to my campaign kickoff at my house.
Yay!
So you can come and eat some curry chicken and rice. And so the second segment, we're going to be talking to Moms Demand Action, the chapter that was formed in Melbourne, Florida. And we're going to be speaking with Melissa. Melissa, you know what? You brought Connie with you. And
yes.
I think you all have a lot to add. So I just want to let our listeners know a little bit about Melissa DeFrancesco. Melissa is a professional engineer registered in the state of Florida. She graduated in 1997 from the University of Texas, San Antonio, with a bachelor's in science degree in civil engineering. She's currently a stay-at-home mom, and she got involved after what happened in Parkland, and I'm sure it's something that was brewing before. You just didn't have
sure.
the time, right?
Yes.
And so, her friend Connie is here, which I just met a new friend. Connie yes. serves as the parent coach and facilitator for the McNair Magnet Middle School Coding Club and the Makerspace Club. So thank you, both of you, two dynamic women. Thank you for being
thank
here
you.
With us.
Thank you for having
us.
On this
Memorial Day, too. What a great day to
I
meet
know.
Up. So tell us a little bit, why did you get involved with Moms Demand Action, Melissa?
Well, obviously, the trigger was Parkland for me.
Yes.
And you're right. There have been many times before when I've thought I should do more, I should get involved, I should do something in some organization. But truly it was Parkland this time that made me move, made me take some action. Along with other parents, I watched that unfold on Valentine's Day, and I
and
had
the
friends.
Anxieties that
the anxiety,
the parents were facing.
The frustration, the heartbreak. I have friends who are from that area who watched their Facebook feeds turn into a location of children. I've found my child, but we're still searching for this person. Has anyone seen her? Has anyone seen him? And that, as a parent, is just something that I could not imagine going through. So there, had a small group, myself and several other friends, who decided to do something. And we looked at different organizations and decided that Moms Demand Action was a great organization. And we needed to start a local chapter in this area if there wasn't already a chapter. So I did some research and touched base with the state chapter lead and started the chapter here. And that was February 22nd is when the chapter started.
Right. And just like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America was created because moms wanted accountability. From
yes.
state legislators, from federal, from companies, from educational institutions, and they wanted to establish something that we call common sense gun reforms. That's
absolutely.
All it was.
You're
right?
correct. The Moms Demand Action is pro-Second Amendment, but you have to understand that with rights, you have responsibilities. And I think that tells you exactly where Moms Demand Action comes from. They advocate for common sense gun legislation. They speak to groups using their Be Smart program on gun safety and how to properly store weapons if you do have them. And, you know, it's really just from a perspective of what can we do in this society to make it a better place to, you know, to diminish the number of deaths from gun violence every day. 96 people die from gun violence every day.
Right. And so Connie Rook, I love your name. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Great veteran. Thank you so much. So how did you get involved with Moms Demand Action?
So very similar to what Melissa went through. You know, as a member of the military, I've moved around the country. I've lived in Miami, Detroit, Washington, D.C., and I've seen, you know, and it's ironic enough, each one of these, you know, the Sandy Hook, the Virginia Tech, the incident in Parkland.
Aurora. We all watched a movie
Aurora.
There. I mean,
right.
I've never...
Exactly.
It's scary just to even go see a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of it also is I'm a researcher by background, and it was amazed to me how few people really understood how the gun laws work, and they assume that it's strictly just a mental health issue. And I did a lot of digging, I did a lot of research, and what I found was it's a very much, it is a mental health issue, yes, absolutely. But there's so many other things that we can do.
It's multifaceted.
It's a culture.
Yes.
And it's a safety issue, and that's what drew me to Moms Demand. And the idea that we're not here to take people's guns away. It's a grassroots, nonpartisan grassroots organization looking at solutions to close loopholes in the gun laws, but look for opportunities to make things safer. Right.
And the thing is, as moms, like my mother didn't have like a fancy education, but she was very smart. And she would say, if you carry a child for 9 months, only you and you alone know what would happen if that child lost its life.
Absolutely.
Because even people who don't have children, they do understand. But there's something about giving birth to your child. You don't want that child to die an unexpected death at the hands of a crazed person who was crying out for help, did not get the help, or someone knew he needed help and didn't say something. We don't want to bury our children. That's not the way it's supposed to be, right? And so that's heartbreaking, isn't it? And I read, the lady who founded Moms Demand Action, Shannon Watts, she founded it in reference to the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting. Because all of us, we watch those little children in those caskets being lowered into the ground.
Yes.
And it broke our hearts. And we all thought something would happen then. And then you had the NRA and you had people that were against any legislation. How do you all feel about it is a nonpartisan issue. But what can we say to people who accept money from the NRA knowing fully well that nothing is being done?
Well, I was going to say the NRA leadership and the gun lobbies control many of the lawmakers. And I think that we're at a time now, especially with the student activists, making sure that we don't let this issue just fade away as it has before. But we're at a point now where we need to hold those legislators accountable and understand that, they need to serve the people. And not the gun lobbies, not the NRA leadership. Moms Demand Action is more than just mothers. It's moms, dads, sisters, brothers, teachers, grandparents.
It's people. We're
gun
people.
Owners, yeah. NRA members. But the membership for the NRA doesn't necessarily agree with what leadership is doing. It's really at the level of the gun lobbies where we're having, a difference of opinion, and we need to make sure that our legislators are serving the people, their constituents.
Yeah, and Connie, you touched on something. You said that Moms Demand Action supports the Second Amendment. So expand a little bit on that, because a lot of people who talk about gun reforms and gun safety, they think, oh, Obama's coming for your guns. Moms Demand Action is coming for your guns. We're not coming for anybody's guns. We're just saying common sense approaches to safety.
Absolutely. And one of the, this is all very new and raw to us. The Santa Fe High School incident was just a couple of weeks ago. And folks are going, our first reaction is, how could this happen? How could this happen? And if you're to really look deeply at this and understand what's going on in Texas, there is no red flag law in Texas. Private gun sales in Texas don't require a background check. Texas law does not require firearm owners to lock their weapons. And the NRA lobbied for years against safe storage laws, arguing that it was an attack on private gun ownership. Now, those are very classic examples of every single one step along that way. Had those guns been locked up, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
So what do they gain by blocking legislation to say hold parents accountable for their guns? What do they gain by that, Melissa? I mean, I don't understand. If you care about humanity and you care about people and you care about our communities and you see the medical examiner night after night looking at bodies that are riddled with bullets, now, what is it? Why is it so important to block legislation that says we want stricter background checks? We would like people to be accountable for their guns. I mean, I don't understand.
It's baffling.
I really wish I, I could give you an answer that, but it doesn't make any sense to me at all as to why they would push back on common sense gun legislation, things that would just make the community safer as a whole. Background checks shouldn't be an issue. In fact, the majority of Americans support background
Even
checks.
Even the people who are NRA members support
stricter
background checks, universal background checks.
Absolutely,
right?
And that's where I'm saying there seems to be a disconnect between the NRA members and the leadership who are more beholden to the gun lobby than to, you know, the people that they are supposed to be serving. So, you know, Moms Demand Action isn't coming after you. They're not trying to take your guns. They're trying to make sure that we have a safer country and that we can reduce the number of deaths and injuries from gun violence. One of the major issues is red flag laws and trying to keep guns out of the hands of domestic abusers. Making sure that there's a 3-day waiting period or some waiting period before you purchase a gun. I mean, these things are not taking your guns away. They're just trying to make sure that guns are in the hands of people who are responsible, not in the hands of people who are
who shouldn't have them,
who are unsafe or maybe
or
have ill intent.
Or some people who purchase a gun just because they have a hidden agenda.
Yes.
And so I just want to tell our listeners, we're speaking with Melissa DeFrancesco and Connie Rook, and we also have Carly Nicole with us and Ashley Burke. We're speaking about how we can make our communities safer by trying to hold our elected officials and our community leaders and people in general in our nation that makes laws, how we can help make our country safer. We're not advocating to take away people's guns. We're talking with these ladies, and we're all part of the Moms Demand Action for Common Sense. So I just want to say, you know, we all envision a nation where we're safe and free. It makes no sense that you have to show your driver's license to buy Sudafed. Right, Connie? You have to show...
Really?
I mean, I just read
exactly.
Recently where mm-hmm. a physician went with his child to a drugstore, and he could not buy Sudafed for his own child because, unfortunately, he had left his driver's license in his wife's car or something like that. Something happened where he didn't have the identification. And not that I'm saying you should drive without your driver's license, but I've done that before, right? So what is it so, I mean, and you'll have politicians that are so quick to jump on the bandwagon for code words like immigration, illegal, pro-life, pro-choice. They'll say things like stricter regulations. Sure, stricter regulations for Sudafed, but no strict regulations to have universal background check or waiting period. I mean, why? What is happening to common sense?
It is baffling, and that's probably one of the biggest reasons that I got into this and why I joined Moms Demand, because the logic, the common sense, and even the stacks and stacks of university empirical data and done by Stanford and Harvard, and if you talk to the pro-gun lobby, the NRA folks, they don't have any of that, and it's baffling to me that here we are as a country that touts itself as very intelligent, as forward-thinking, and that we can't make smart decisions based on the research that says it's the access to guns. I mean, it really, every single one of these incidents that you look at that have happened, if the person that did this did not have access to guns, this wouldn't have happened. And it seems like such an easy fix, and, you know, as a mom and a parent, and you know, it's shocking that we can't, we don't have the intestinal fortitude to be able to just say, knock it off. And that, and it is. We had a whole conversation at my dinner table the other night, trying to explain to my 12-year-old what the word beholden meant, and that politicians were beholden to the NRA. And she's 12 years old, and she said, "Why? That doesn't make any sense." And I said, "I know, you would think, but
yeah, also the amount of babes,
and,
right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the equation is more guns equal more deaths.
Right.
That's it. I mean, more guns equal more deaths. You know." You can't have results if you don't fix it, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, we all talk about making America great again. How about making America safe again so that our children could play hopscotch? I mean, okay, so even if the argument that you want to arm people in the schools, then what happens in the skating rinks? What happens when the children go to after-school programs? What happens in the malls? Are we going to start arming people in our malls, in our skating rink, in the parks? I mean, common sense is universal background checks, waiting periods, and what about the AR rifles? Now, I know a lot of people don't want to talk about those, but anybody here willing to talk about those? Because it seems as though that seems to be the weapon of choice in a lot of these killings, these murders that takes place of innocent human beings.
Well, I'll tackle it, I guess. Well, in many of them, it is the weapon of choice, and I think that it is accessible to many people, as we've found out, maybe surprisingly accessible. Moms Demand Action does support a ban on semi-automatic weapons, but I know that there are other things that we've already talked about that we feel are effective as well. We found out from Santa Fe that it wasn't an AR-15 used there, but a shotgun and I believe a handgun. So there are many different weapons that they're using in just specifically school shootings. But sure, I mean, the AR-15 shoots very, it's very quick and efficient.
Right.
And it is a factor.
Well, and the truth is we're facing a public health crisis. 7 American children or teens are shot and killed every day. And we've all watched our teens and our friends and our family play video games, right? And the satisfaction that people get when they kill people on these games, I sometimes wonder, how come we're not holding these people who make the video games more accountable as well? Because it's so violent. I mean, how about just eating vegetables? Play a game with eating carrots and eggplants and things like that. But when you shoot to kill, it's in your mind. And I think some people are not mentally able to cope with this sort of game. I don't know, but I've seen my boys play it too. And I'm like, don't do that in the house, because it's almost like they enjoy it. So I don't know. Do you think that that's one of the things we should look at, Carly?
Well, I even think the whole video games, there are age restrictions on them. But I do feel that if you start playing games that are that violent at a young age and you view it as okay, I feel like you're more prone to that violent behavior at that time.
Yeah.
You have 5, 6, 7-year-olds playing Call of Duty. They're going to grow up thinking that shooting.
Yeah, I just saw something about Oliver North that he had something to do with one of these video games. I just read it last night. I was going to print it up and bring it. And now he's the head of the NRA. That he actually had endorsed one of these games, is what they were saying. Yeah, I think Ashley's shaking her head.
I'm just saying, of course.
We can look it up later. But so Ashley, how do you think we can change the culture of gun violence?
Well, that's a big question.
Because it seems as though it's not just the guns and the mental health, but it's also the idea that people think it's part of the American culture. And it is to an extent. But I don't think our founding fathers, when they made all those laws about the right to bear arms and the Second Amendment, I didn't think they thought about a young man with an AR rifle shooting up little children in a school.
That wasn't the intention of the Second Amendment.
No.
You know, but to your question, that was a big question. But as someone who looks at the idea of compassion and the respect for life as an animal rights person, I think that's how we change the culture in the gun situation, is having that respect for, like I said, respect for life. As Carly was saying, you know, 5 and 6-year-olds are playing Call of Duty. And the issue with that is that children become desensitized. That's the problem. And when we instill, you know, in
values
in young children where they're not exposed to violence, and it is shocking if they do encounter it, they're going to be less likely to engage in it. But if they're seeing violence all the time, they're participating in these games where they lose that sensitivity to, you know, something that's violent, then
Well, and it also starts at the home too. I think the foundation for learning is in the homes, right? We all have our grandparents and our moms and dads, and for people who have an absent parent, we have elders in our community. And I know that Melissa and Connie can speak to this, but, you know, when you have children, it comes with a responsibility for us to fill their heads with things that are great, lift their self-esteem, make them feel good about their community and the way they live and what they're going to aspire to be when they grow up and all the wonderful things like that. But at some point, don't you think parents have some to play some part in having a responsible role in with their children? Because we see parents,
absolutely,
we see children getting shot with their parents' guns.
Absolutely.
And we see parents who are and not coming out and saying something to their children publicly, like we see politicians don't say anything publicly about this.
I agree. Parents have a great responsibility in raising their children to understand responsibility and compassion, and to understand that guns aren't the answer to your problems, in some cases, fighting back or going into a school to harm others, that's not the answer. They need to talk to their kids more. You know, just with video games, we're talking about the age restrictions that are on games. There are a lot of kids who are, you know, playing these games who don't meet the age restriction, and the parents are buying the games for
them. And who's buying the games, right?
Right. But, you know, other countries have kids who play the same video games, and they don't have the same problem that we have here in this country. There's definitely a mindset that you have this right to have weapons, and that's fine, but we need to extend that and make sure that everyone is aware that with owning weapons, they have responsibilities, and they need to make sure that those weapons are secured. If they have children in the house, they need to make sure that their kids are aware that the weapons are there and they're off limits to them. They need to make sure that that their kids know to come to them if they have questions or comments, or if they're having issues at school, or, you know, just not feeling like they need help, or that they are struggling.
Yeah, because
lot of things that we need as parents to make sure that we're keeping an eye on our kids.
We're slowly destroying the American family too. And I see Connie shaking her head. What happens?
You know,
it used to be that you came home from school and grandma, mom, I mean, of course, we all know we have to work. We all need health insurance, for God's sake. We need the benefits. Otherwise, we'd all be home with our kids. How many moms are working just so they can have health care for their children? And that's a whole different story. But, you know, if we had that opportunity where we can have dinner again with our children and talk with them about their day and what happened and who bullied you and what did your teacher say and did you get your homework turned in and what did you have for lunch? And you actually spend time with these precious children that we bring on earth. It's not about saying you love these children when they're in somebody's womb. What are you doing when they come out of their womb and you're helping?
So Melissa actually brought up a really great point. And the topic of gun safety, particularly in Brevard County, and I hate to say it, it's kind of been a shock for me because I've only lived here a few years, but it's kind of a dirty word. I mean, to be able to bring it up in conversation in a restaurant or even on Facebook, people get very bristled. And I think that we need to be able to just say, don't you think gun safety is important, and have other people in the room go, yes, I believe so. I think yes. It is a safe thing. And it's almost, you know, and I hate to use that analogy, and I think I probably need to come up with another one, but the topic of drugs, the topic of safe sex. I mean, we need to be able to say, we all as a community agree that
drugs... Do you think you should bury your child?
Right. Well,
that's
yes.
What the Parkland yes. people ended up burying their own. Right. I mean, I work in a nursing facility, and we see the elderly that die, and it's quite acceptable and normal because you die when you get old age. You shouldn't have to bury your child because of a gun violence. And I know Carly was looking up something for us while we were talking, and we were talking about earlier about the video game industry and how we have so many people that are hypocritical about saying now, you know, what they want to do. And I was right about that Oliver North thing, right?
Yes, Oliver North. He's a conservative for facilitating the sale of weapons for Iran more than 30 years ago. But he was a spokesperson for the Call of Duty Black Ops 2, which is an M-rated game that 17-year-olds kind of play.
But you were saying earlier that children younger than 17
yes.
play that game mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, I remember years ago going to like my cousin's house, and I was probably 6, 7, and here they are playing Call of Duty. The big one nowadays is Fortnite, since it's free, it's on your mobile phone. Kids of all ages are playing that. There's no age restrictions in the App Store that say, are you 17? Are you 18? So kids download it and they play it because it's hip, cool, new, in, you know?
Right. And so, and the thing is, you know, like, there's so many factors to consider with gun violence. You know, parenting, values at home, background checks. If you see something, say something. And so I want to touch a little bit with the last 3 minutes about mental health. Because, you know, we all talk about, you know, restoring civil rights. We talk about voting, voter turnout. We talk about gun violence. We talk about the criminal justice system. We talk about holding elected officials accountable. But at the center of all of this if a person is not happy with themselves and their lives, that is a problem. And that seems to be a factor in most of these violent shootings that we see, right? So I see you're shaking your head, Melissa. You think that's certainly something we have to look at.
I would agree that that's something we need to look at, and that, you know, we find that in many of these cases that there may have been some underlying issues that were could have been
addressed
early on, could have been flagged. So that's where the red flag laws come in, to make sure that any parents or family members or law enforcement can get a court order to make sure that guns are removed from this person so that they cannot harm themselves or others until they address some of these issues. So I think that's something that's very important that was passed as part of the legislation.
Right. And the thing is, we need to fund treatment centers as well to help people. I just read online last night where the Florida legislators, they cut funding for treatment centers for people who are suffering from the opioid crisis that's hitting Florida. So we can't say we want to help people on one hand, and then on the other hand, when you leave the emergency room and you've got the drugs, and you have nowhere to go for assistance, because that's when stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need this. It's support from the community as well as the state as well, you know. So do we have a website for people who want to join Moms Demand Action?
The easiest way to do that is to text READY to 64433. And that will send you a link where you can sign up, and you can show up at our next meeting, which I should have handy here, and I don't, but I believe it's June. It's a Monday night, June 16th?
You're 18th. Having way June too 18th. Much fun meeting your neighbors.
June 18th. It feels like we're meeting all the time,
yes.
But we've been at the school board meetings of all spring, and so hopefully we can settle into more of a standard schedule. But we have a member meeting June 18th. That is on the Moms Demand Action Everytown website.
Can you say the text again?
Text READY, READY, to 64433.
And Carly, what about the Counselors for Change? Do they already have a website set up?
They are on Facebook. I'm not sure about the website quite yet.
Well, but Facebook is fine.
Yeah.
I don't think you need both, because even for my campaign, I'm not doing both. It's too much information out there. It's like people have so many sites to go to and so many pages to go to. After a while, you're like, no, that's enough. And what about your nonprofit, Miss Allison Burke?
Anyone can go to Facebook and find Space Coast Animal Rights to find
Ashley Burke. Did you hear me say Allison?
That's okay. I get that a lot. Find Space Coast Animal Rights on Facebook to find out about our upcoming rummage sale, how to make donations, and we also have a fundraiser, an auction with lots of great things that we're auctioning off.
Before we go, I know, Melissa, you want to say one thing. So give us your 30-second speech, why people should join Moms Demand Action Melbourne.
Because we're amazing.
Yeah. What about you, Connie? What do you
say?
I know. I mean, it's just the thing is, we're family. We're Global Village. And I think when you leave this planet, you have to leave something good behind. And it should be that you try to make it a better place for other people.
Let me
those
just
that are coming behind
say that
us.
We have... Moms Demand Action supports the Wear Orange event that's coming up this next weekend, June 1st. And I encourage you to go to the everytown.org website and find a Wear Orange event near you.
Okay, this was a great edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be here next week.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
We bow down and confess